worship God. We come together from our places to this place that's dedicated to worship Him. So as we come, I believe that the Holy Spirit already works at our hearts to prepare us for this. And God is present, and He blesses us in many ways. He blesses everybody in many ways. Sometimes according to our needs, sometimes even according to our wishes, and sometimes, most of the time, according to His will. That's why we praise His name. I will read a portion of the scriptures for us this morning from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, first 7 verses. Then I'll pray, and then we'll consider the passage that's under our scrutiny. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 to 7. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of words, but all their song grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer stirred. The man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This is the word of God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's about you, about your goodness and grace. And because you are good and gracious, we come into your presence. And we are thankful that we are being received. Or even more, we can approach boldly the throne of grace, not on our own merit, but on the merit of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, in His name, come. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for taking us in your arms. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for your word for us today. Pray that it might do us good, because it is always set up to do good in different ways. Holy Spirit, we come to give us your wisdom, to be present as we hear, as we consider, as we think, as we take it in, and also help us as we live it out. So we are thankful for being together. We are thankful today being together with Helen in our midst. And we are thankful for her presence in our midst. We pray a blessing on her that you might keep her safe in the journeys that she has to undertake and bring her back soon. Help, we pray. We pray for her daughter, for her granddaughter, and those close to her, the church that she is part of. We thank you for ourselves with our offering that has been presented. We are grateful that you are blessing us in that regard as well. All we have comes from you. It is because of you. It is yours. Holy Spirit, come. And we pray that your name may be glorified and honored forever. Amen. Thank you for being part of the prayer or today, of today too. I promised you that I'm going to talk about OA. Which means old age. Well, I haven't had the courage to put OA on front, so I put an expression or a phrase from the passage, the blossoming almond tree, which we'll see where it comes from. You already heard what it was in the passage. Let me start like this. When we moved to Adelaide in June 1992, quite a while ago, when we moved to Adelaide, one of the lasting memories about being in Adelaide, and still here, is still in our minds, is the blossoming almond trees that we used to see every time we traveled South Road towards the city from Morford Vale. that's where we lived. And traveling from Mortford Vale to the city to Mile End, on the left-hand side, Ohalaran Hill, that part, there were almond trees. And there were, at that time, so we moved in June, say August, September, October, not long after we moved, there were these blossoming almond trees. That's one of the memories of us moving in Adelaide. I don't know, I don't think in Melbourne they have almond trees, don't they? Probably they have, but further from the city. Yeah, so the blossoming almond trees were heralds of the spring that was coming, summer that was coming, when they still are, aren't they, of the coming spring. And somehow the author of the book of Ecclesiastes took that image, took that picture of a blossoming almond tree as representing the old age. That means when the hair grow gray or even whiter than that. Yes, and they're falling to the ground too. That's true to some of us, to some extent. Never to return. Okay. So the question that popped up in my mind as I was going through our body, you know, as the body of a new believer, was what does the Bible has to say about old age? Or do we have anything about old age in the Bible? And then I remembered Ecclesiastes, and there are some other parts of the Bible as well. So there is something that the Bible has to say about old age. And before I go further, we know that the Bible tells it as it is, if this is a correct expression. The Bible tells it as it is. So the Bible doesn't try to hide things, but just tells them openly as they are. And the Bible stories and teachings come from God, yes, through the Holy Spirit, yet are about our basic needs. The Bible, it's about our basic needs and addresses our basic needs. The Word of God comes to address what we need. And again, I'm not going to explore now all our needs, but I would like to mention that our basic and most urgent, in a sense, need, pressing need, is reconnection with God. We as human beings, this is the basic and the most pressing need, to be reconnected to God. Why do I say reconnected? It is because at one point we were connected. So reading the beginning of the Bible, we read about God creating humanity with Adam and Eve, and there was a strong bond, strong connection between them. They were spending time together. So God created the humankind for himself. In the early stages of creation, there was this strong bond between God and his creation, God and Adam. They even took walks together, so on. That has been lost. That connection between man and God has been lost, has been interrupted. And that has been interrupted as a result of disobedience. Again, if you have spent some time in the church and listened to sermons, this would have come about disobedience. And Paul picks up this thought later, and he writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is no one righteous. For the basic point, or basic starting point in every human life, there is no one righteous. Not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God, and so on. And Paul says that no one ever tries to reflect God's glory. No one. So God, in his wisdom and his love, provided a way to reconnect with him, Jesus. So Jesus is our way of reconnection with God. He's our way back to God, so to put it. Jesus is our way back to God. Through Jesus, in him, we are given the right to become children of God, as John puts it in his gospel. And as such, we become in the family of God. In such, we are connected with him again, to the point that we cry through the Spirit, Abba. We call him Father, our Father. This basic and pressing need of every human being to get reconnected with God has eternal implications, because as soon as we become children of God, our eternity is assured. So eternity is assured. But back to our subject. See, I started to tell you that the Bible tells it as it is. So when it comes to old age, again, the Bible tells it as it is. Yes, the Bible has something to say about old age. Last week, I had to submit a census type of thing, but made by our Baptist Union. Let me call it Baptist Union, even though I think it's the Baptist movement now called. So I had to submit data about our church, different data of our church. But part of our Baptist, as part of our Baptist movement survey, and one of the questions I had to answer was related to the age of our congregation. So it wasn't a simple question, how old is your congregation, but they split it in four and said something like under 25s, between 25 and I think 50 or 60, over 60, less than 71, over 71. There were four categories. So I started to do a bit of, I have to admit, I wasn't precise. I was too lazy to go to see in what year every one of you have been born, but just I appreciated, you know, I gave a sort of rough estimate. How many, yeah, okay. So the bulk of our congregation, the bulk of our congregation in attendance is made by people over 60. So again, an estimate, I think 75% of our church membership in attendance is old. Well, don't take me on that, all right? But you get the gist. We are an elderly congregation. I had a bit of a trouble to put the numbers for the under 25, so we've got you can use your hand maybe to count them, or well, maybe two, you know, one and a half, you know, something. But nevertheless, go back. So the bulk of our church membership and attendance made by people over 60, well over 60. And I think our passage in Ecclesiastes, well, for some starts to speak to us, for some it's really talking aloud. So this morning's sermon is based on Ecclesiastes 12, the first seven chapters. But as we, if you paid attention, as we start to read chapter 12, we hit these words, remember your creator in the days of your youth. So while the author speaks about old age, he actually addresses and refers or speaks to young people. So I have to navigate this a little bit, and I believe that the young people would be helped to listen to what, you know, what's written here about old age. And I believe that the old age persons or those who are nearing the old age persons also will be helped by what the Bible says about old age. So while the author is addressing the young people, the passage is a description of old age, and probably the description of the author himself, taking that the author is Solomon. He started to do some research, he started to find some meaning in life, I'm going to get to that later in a bit, but then towards the end of his life, he sort of looked back and he couldn't find much as a result of his research, so he writes these words. So, remember your creator. While young, consider God. That's another way of putting it. While young, consider God. Well, how many of you consider yourselves young? Come on. Be courageous. Well, see, consider God. Remember your Creator. Actually, hang on, I skipped the point here. Let me go back. Rewind. And let me remind you some of biblical examples of biblical persons that reached old age. Just so this is going to be only four of them, one-liners. I'm not going to spend too much time on them. So let us be reminded of some old people, elderly people in the Bible. First, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. That's quite a long time to walk with God. Or, well, of course, we understand this is a metaphorical way to put it, but nevertheless, he has been faithful for 300 years. So no matter how we take those 300 years, the main thing we can take from there is that he was faithful till the end, because then we read God took him, and that was the end of him on earth. He was faithful to the end. 300 years, faithful 300 years. 200 years, faithful 200 years, and so on. The other example, Abraham and Sarah had their son Isaac when they were old, and Paul says around, Paul actually puts the expression almost dead, because he was 100 years old, and his consort Sarah, I think, was about 90, they had their son. Well, how many of you old folks are thinking of having a son? Not many, probably. Okay. You have heard, and you've been witnessing the book of Numbers quiz. Caleb, remember Caleb? One of the two spies, and there comes another opportunity for him, and he goes, I think, to Joshua and says, it doesn't matter that I am 80 years old, I still have the same thread. Give me that mountain. Remember him? 80 years old. And then Apostle John, he wrote his letters when he was advanced in years, and probably his hair also was like a blossoming almond tree. The examples of elderly people in the Bible. So remember your Creator, back to the flow of my sermon, while young, consider God. And I would like to consider some of the benefits that come as a result of remembering our Creator. I'm not going to go to explain too much of it, but I started to think, what will be some of the benefits of remembering our Creator? And one of them, based on Solomon's example in Ecclesiastes, is that life and work become enjoyable instead of becoming a burden. When we consider our Creator while we are young, still in our youth, life in general, and work together, instead of becoming a burden, something to dread, something to, what other word to use, it becomes an enjoyable experience. Why? Because of the Creator. Because of the Creator. Because if at a young age, we take God as our Creator, that means we entrust our lives to Him, to live under His authority, to take care, to consider His work, and so on, and our life becomes an enjoyable life. The key theme of this book of Ecclesiastes is the search for the meaning of life. Early on, Solomon puts himself to the task and tries to find meaning in life. And if you remember, he tries a lot of things. Well, the common things. If anyone would set up to find meaning of life these days, that person would hit the same things or activities, because there's nothing new under the sun, remember. So he writes then in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11, what he set up to do. Yet when I surveyed, after he's done the things, yet when I surveyed all that my hands has done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. The chasing after wind, nothing was gained under the sun. Do you remember how many things he achieved? He planted vineyards, he planted orchards, he amassed gold, he spent a life of pleasure with lots of women, and so on. So he had it all. He had it all. And yet, you find a person who writes, all of that was meaningless, a chasing after the wind under the sun. For him, the life wasn't something to enjoy. It became a burden. It became a restless attempt to find the next thing that will keep him happy, or the next pleasure that will give him another desire to go on living, the next thing. And then at one point, those next things finish. And that's when the life finishes as well. He tries to find that meaning in life. And then at one point, after he tries all these things and become wiser, he writes something else for those that read his book. And we read the same book, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7. Go. Eat your food with gladness. Drink your wine with a joyful heart. For it is now that God favors what you do. Wear the white robe. Enjoy life with the wife of your youth, with your consort. because this is actually what brings joy to life. This is what God gives and can give to everybody. Enjoying the simple, everyday, mundane events of life, that's the secret of a happy life. Not chasing after some illusory things, but enjoying things as they come every day. And some, I found this quote very interesting, a Jewish teacher of the 3rd century, so really back when life probably we think was a bit more settled, a Jewish teacher in the 3rd century said, man will have to give account for all that he saw and did not enjoy. Just think a bit about these words. Now, it might not be true theologically or before God, but it's true in many other senses or ways. Man will give account for all the things he saw, or say she saw, and did not enjoy. Because the thought that is behind these words is that God gives things to us for our enjoyment. Everything that God provides for us is for our enjoyment. It is us, it is we that take it and abuse it and overdo it and also and make out of everything God created good, we make it not good. We make it and we harm ourselves. That enjoyment of life, that enjoyment of every little bits of life comes as a result of having a divine worldview, having a divine connection. Because without God, we cannot enjoy these things. Of course, there are exceptions. We don't say this is a strict thing. There are exceptions. But without God, as a general rule, we cannot enjoy the little things. We cannot enjoy even the big things that come into our lives. So he writes in, towards the end of the book, chapter Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 9, be happy, young man, while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart, and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you to judgment. So you are under God's authority. It's almost like it says here, go and enjoy life, but enjoy life with God in your mind. Go enjoy every aspect of life, but do it giving glory to God. Being conscious that God knows, being conscious that God will look at what you are doing. Because ultimately, brothers and sisters, it is God who gave us all these things. It is God who gave us all these things. We haven't invented that. We just put some chemicals together and so on. So today, an appalling number of lives today, an appalling number of lives are lost too as a result of suicide, drugs, alcohol, all these things that, I don't know, people start using and then ultimately and finally find that it's no meaning in life. Of course, because without God, in a sense, nothing becomes meaningful in life. The other thing that happens is when in our youth we consider God, we remember our Creator, is that we build up, we store up memories of happy times, memories of good times, memories when we enjoyed our work, memories when we enjoyed our food, memories when we enjoyed our family, memories when we enjoyed the wife of our youth, as the Bible puts it, memories, that sort of memories, coming together with brothers and sisters, memories of fellowship, memories of doing good around, all these memories will are stored up. And at the old age, we have this storage full of good memories. Almost nothing to be ashamed of. Good memories. But that's why he also says, remember. Remember. So the blossoming almond tree, using a poetic language, that's only one the first verse. Now it comes, the other six verses are those six verses, 1b to 7. It is a poetic language that describes the old age. I don't know if I need to read them again, every line that's presented there describes an activity or, but notice, everything is on the decaying part. Everything is on the weaker part. Everything is on the part where the body actually ends or gets towards the end of existence. You read it. Suddenly we hit the time when, at our age, we don't find any pleasure in our days. We start to number days and we wait for the time to meet the Lord. And sometimes, depending on our health, we almost pray every day, God, take me. But it is up to Him and He has His own time. I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun, the light and the moon and the stars grow dark. Well, in his days, probably they didn't have a cataract surgery, and that's why things became dim and couldn't see anymore. Yes, the plows turn after the rain. The keepers of the house tremble. Yes, and the strong men stoop. What do we call them here? Crow's feet. Is this what he called them? Crow's feet? No? You haven't heard about crow's feet? Yeah, that runs on. And well, and what about this? Turkey neck? We've got some other descriptions, but this is what Ecclesiastes writes here. Yeah? When the grinder sees, because there are few, cannot grind anymore, because while you have lots of to grind, you don't have what to grind with. Alright, so that's the thing. You get no dentists at the time. Alright? Those looking through the windows grow dim, our sight grows dim, the doors to the street are closed, the sound of the grinding fades, so our audio system fails to function properly. When the main men rise up at the sound of the birds, that was me a while ago, I hated those birds, and the songs grow faint. Men are afraid of heights, the dangers in the street, and the almond tree blossoms when the hair grow white. The grasshopper drags himself along, just hardly walk. The desire, it's no longer stirred. Remember him, and he goes on, when the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, the pitcher is shattered and the wheel broken, things are beyond repair. Things are beyond repair. It's no more spare parts for us to be put back together to a full functioning being. So things become beyond repair. And then finally, dust goes to dust. Dust goes to dust. And it becomes, usually an old age comes with this sense of being useless. Have you ever had that sense of being useless? I remember Maureen, and some of you remember Maureen, coming Thursday morning, share in, knocking on the door and having a chat with me, and often said, Pastor, I feel useless. And she would come and do steal some things or whatever. And I tried myself to encourage her, and I only could encourage her. This is what was given to me. I said, Maureen, think about the leaves, autumn leaves. How useful are the autumn leaves? You can use them as a compost, something. But I said to her, the autumn leaves signal, show that the job has been done. The job has been done. The work has been done. The fruit has been whatever, the flowers, and now is the time to fall. It is a time to fall down. It is a time, but the job has been done. And that's what is most important. Never to feel useless. And I'll have to say some more about that a little bit later. Just a little bit later. So as we build our memories about how to build our memories about our Creator while we are young, how to build them. And I found one that's, again, I'm going to have support from the scriptures. We build our memories about our Creator when we pray. And listen to the psalmist's prayer in Psalm 71, verse 9 and 18 later on. He prays, don't cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. So even as a young person, I can pray this prayer. Remember me oh Lord, when I'm getting old, and then I'll remember, see, this remembrance thing goes two ways. That don't cast me away when I'm old. Don't forsake me when my strength goes away. Have mercy on me. That's a short prayer that we can pray so many times during the day. Have mercy on me, Lord. We also build our memory when we have the assurance that we are still on God's heart. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And this is good for us to remember, because what the Holy Spirit prophesied through the, what God prophesied through the prophets about the Holy Spirit, it said this: even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy, even on the old men. Yes, the young will have a dream, the old men will have dreams, will dream dreams. Because an old man will dream dreams. But this thing tells me, because in that context, it's put under the Holy Spirit presence. And that means even in your old age, even in my old age, the Holy Spirit is present. And even if I cannot do anything else, but if I have a dream that God gives me, it is God's proof. Or it is a proof that God loves me even when I'm old. We have this assurance that we are still on God's heart because we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. And something else, even on top of this, we find comfort. We find, as we go on, we find comfort in what God has promised us. And let me read now Isaiah chapter 46, verse 4. I think this should be a precious verse for everyone on us as we grow older. Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. That's God speaking. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. This is a promise. That even when we grow old, even when the energy is not there, even when the sight is not good, the hearing is not good, anything, nothing is good in a sense. It is God who carries us. It is He who created us, and it is He who will carry us. And hence, the injunction, the exhortation, remember your Creator in your youth. Because when you grow old, you'll have something to remember. You'll have something to stand on. You'll have something to feed your mind and your soul on. Because you are one loved by the one who created you, and you are being carried on. And that's why my personal opinion is we might reach a stage during our life, our old age, when we don't remember anybody. We might not remember our wives, we might not remember our sons and daughters, we might not remember anything. It doesn't matter. Might come a time when we will not be able to pray. It doesn't matter. There might come a time when we won't be able to come to church. It doesn't matter. Because when we can't, we discover that God can. And He's the one who carries us on. And for that, I'm deeply thankful and grateful to Him. Old age ought not to be a season of despair and gloom. Remembering our Creator brings joy through the memories that we have about Him, through the thought of an eternal life spent with Him, through the assurance that we are His and He's going to carry us on till the end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we read about old age. We feel the old age coming. Some of us have the feeling even more than others. We are thankful that you don't disregard us as useless, good for nothings. But you keep us in your hands. You keep us on your shoulders. And you still carry us on. We are thankful that even at old age, you promise that some will still be able to do good, to be green, of strength, and indeed some are. So reading these words and looking at ourselves, we are thankful that you are our Creator, our Savior, our Sustainer, the one who will carry us, who will carry us till the end. We are thankful in Jesus' name.